Hello there.
Welcome to another Nerdy Show Microsode. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
I'm Tony, the draw friend.
I'm Luke.
I'm John.
And I'm Laval.
An overhyped project in and of yourself, are you not?
I am an overhyped project.
On this Nerdy Show Microsode, we're joined by honorary Nerdy Show producer John Laval, the brains behind some things.
Some stuff.
A number of things we honestly can't talk about.
There is one overhyped project, but it was only overhyped to myself, and that's why it's a failure.
No.
I produce. I'm a producer. Does that help? Is that a credential we can use?
Yeah, we can use that.
All right.
We'll go with it.
Can we use that soundbite? We'll do it live.
Right.
Do it live.
Fix it in post.
Tonight, whenever you're listening to this, rather, we're going to be talking about overhyped projects. This is a Microsode requested by Nerdy Show's honorary producer turned actual producer, Trench 88.
Yay, Trench 88.
That Woo-hoo! Guy's awesome.
Yeah, he is. And if you guys want to get us to do any Microsodes, well, you can always support Nerdy Show, as we're a listener-supported podcast, and find out how to get your own Microsode on our support page. We'll talk about whatever you want. Haha. So now we're talking about overhyped projects. Trench's example that he gave to me when he suggested this was Peter Molyneux and every successive Fable ever.
Pretty much anything he does, really.
No, I like the guy. He's got a lot of heart. He's got a lot of great ideas. It's the follow through, though.
He overpromises and underdelivers.
What's good about him as a producer, what he does basically, is that he really believes in his team. Unfortunately,
his team is crap.
Fall short. Yeah.
He lives in a fantasy world where everything he says he can do actually exists.
Actually,
he lives in the realm of Albion.
Oh my goodness!
Did you guys actually catch his whole Twitter thing where he was on Twitter talking about how he's learning how to program and he started programming his own thing?
What?
It was retweeted like a billion times. He's like, "I finally got the program to say hello world," and then that was it.
I don't trust him anymore, even a little bit.
What that means, though, is if you were to actually see, it just says, "Hey." He promises hello world what he gets.
It says hello world, and then it falls through the floor, gets stuck in the floor, and everyone's your save game.
And then John Cleese stops talking to you halfway through the game.
Yeah. Pay multi-million dollars to have this guy talk in your video game, and then he dies.
So I think the best way for us to go around and talk about overhyped projects, aside from the pitch that Trench 88 gave us that is so near and dear to all of our Xbox-owning hearts, is to kind of go around the table, see what overhyped projects we think deserve to be kind of roasted on a spit.
You going
to
take the lead on this, Tony?
I actually am not. I am going to, because I know that Luke McBeardy has a couple of things he wants to set aflame. Luke?
Very calm, Luke.
I do. Personally, the most overhyped things in recent memory for me have been both SWTOR and Diablo 3.
What?
I know. And it's not... Well, starting with Diablo 3, it's not that it was a bad game. It's more that we've been expecting it since 2 came out, or Lords of Destruction came out. And what we got was just sort of, it was Diablo 2 with better graphics, some added nice features, and they merged it with World of Warcraft a little bit, and they put it out there. And then the real money auction house debacle went down, and it's sort of just ruined the whole thing for me.
Oh, let's not forget the kerfuffle of needing to be online to play the game and then not having the servers available when the game launched.
Oh, God. I was ready at, well, I can't remember what time. It must have been like 11 o'clock or whenever it was that they were supposed to go live. And me and two friends spent the next something like 4 hours just spamming the login button, but to no avail. You may say we were contributing to the problem, to which I say, eat a dick.
But hang your internet bill as hard,
Yum.
Guys.
Especially when you're a gigantic corporation, that's hard.
That's hard, you guys.
It's not, you know, you can't afford to do things like rent a few extra servers for launch time. No, that would be ridiculous.
What's your beef now with Tor, sir?
That one may just be my own expectations, but after getting into it, I was expecting something. You know, we kept getting promised a really different type of MMO experience, and what I got was World of Warcraft with voice acting and Star Wars.
It is slightly better,
but it boiled down to the same thing, and I burned out on it quickly because I was previously burnt out on WoW.
And I'm gonna second you on the Tor bit there, Mr. Luke. Having played both at this point for a significant amount of time, the Tor definitely, it doesn't feel new. It feels intimately familiar to anybody who has ever touched World of Warcraft for longer than like 5 minutes. What it does have is a story that actually grips you for longer than 6 seconds.
Oh, I'll absolutely give it that.
So part of the burnout that I think you feel and that a lot of people feel with Tor is just that you are so quick to get into your character and to see your character through to level 50 at first that you do so much, you kind of, you shotgun it. Now, something that I know you told me as I was trying to get you to come back and play with me, and that a lot of people have said apparently, is that if the game were free to play, they'd return.
Oh, sure.
And now it is.
Yeah, it's coming out later this fall.
And I will be absolutely playing again with you, Tony.
What's the monetization there? There's got to be some monetization. Is it like you have to pay for weapons?
I mean, it's worked
a really good lightsaber. In order to get the really good lightsaber, like, I have to give you 1,500 credits, which actually revolve to $15. It's only $15, so I don't mind giving $15.
Hey, dude, that's not even it, man. It doesn't even actually give you any new stats. It just has a different color on it that you can't get any other way.
Hey, man, if there's no other way to get the purple lightsaber, I'm going to get that freaking purple lightsaber.
So, Luke, you get to tag who gets to bring up their overhype project next.
I call Laval.
Mine is a little bit of a wild card. Mine is several, probably now, what, like hundreds of thousands of projects. Mine's Kickstarter.
Oh, you jerk.
Yeah, one of them being... but no, in all honesty, I think Kickstarter is severely overhyped. As a producer, I like to see when money comes from investors, and I can smell a rat when I see one. I think if you can raise $10 million by Kickstarter, you didn't need a Kickstarter in the first place. And that steals funds from smaller projects. But in all honesty, I think that's overhyped right now. Everybody wants a Kickstarter. Nobody wants to do the hard work anymore of getting investors. Is crowdfunding better or worse? Who knows? But I mean, I know I haven't had what maybe 50%, I think I said, of my stuff hasn't. I haven't gotten anything from it. So.
Right.
May I offer a counterpoint?
Go for it.
My band actually has funded the recording right now off of a Kickstarter. And now, mind you, we're going for a much smaller project. We only asked for 40K to begin with, hit our goal, and now we're able to do so.
What was your goal?
I think it was 40K, and we ended up raising 60.
Why'd you choose to use Kickstarter, may I ask?
We just weren't getting anything else from the normal channels, honestly.
Oh, weird.
And we thought, you know, the fan base will support this kind of thing, maybe.
And that works. And that works.
We tried
for
it,
you.
And then it did.
And that works for you guys. But when there's a developer that's made games for, you know, decades, and then they go on Kickstarter,
they're cheating.
$10 million. Yeah, that's cheating. That's
or if you're
fishing
a,
with dynamite.
Or if you're a large webcomic.
Or a large web
that
comic.
Goes on saying, we don't want to have ads for a year. Give
oh,
us
yeah.
money.
See that what's funny about that, too, is some of the stuff that, you know, there's a lot of money. And I would like to see them prove that they make that much in ad revenue in the first place. You know, they say that we need $2 million. I'd like to see them actually make $2 million in ad revenue.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying they don't.
Obviously, not everybody's going to be following what it is you're talking about
here.
That's so.
Yeah, that's Penny Arcade.
Penny Arcade. So
Penny Arcade wanted to go ad-free. So they were pushing, does anybody remember what it was? They wanted like $1 million or $500,000 or something like that. And they're saying,
do we know how many employees they have?
They made a little video kind of explaining it, and they only showed like three people.
Okay, well, there you go, right? Three people split however many ways, right?
They make a lot of money off of PAX as well.
Right.
Like, as an event coordinator, I know how much money you can make from having a whole room full of vendors.
Yeah.
So what you were saying was you were saying
all of Kickstarter
is overhyped.
Now, granted, when I will get on Kickstarter eventually, and I will have a project on Kickstarter, but I also don't have $1 million in funding at my beck and call like some of these people do. I'm talking about like if Kanye West went and used Kickstarter. Now he's a multi, you know, he's got all these platinum records and he's probably got a crap load of money out of his butt. He's got the money to fund his project, but he's going to go to Kickstarter and crowdsource and basically fish with dynamite because it's free marketing and it's a lot of money. And
right.
It's good. So.
And Kickstarter itself is exciting to see Kickstarter succeed.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
It is very exciting.
But that's hype.
It's like Twitter, like they have to keep talking about it on the news.
Right. To me, that's hype. And I think it's okay.
Yep.
It's useful. But
yo, dog. That is too hype.
I'm a tag. John the Hex. I overhype Kickstarter. Carter.
I'm going to talk about Mass Effect 3. Now, I enjoyed Mass Effect 3.
Cue the rage.
I enjoyed playing Mass Effect 3.
There it is.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the new ending. But here's the thing. They hyped it. They hyped it to say that all of your... Everything, every single decision you would make would impact the end scenario.
It did. It impacted how you felt about it.
when it's still, even with the new ending, it boils right. down to, with the new ending, spoiler alert, you have the options of you kill all the Reapers, you control all the Reapers, you synthesize everything, or you go, no, fuck you.
Right. Now, to be fair, that is...
the only four options.
No, there were only three before. So now you have the fourth option of saying, no, fuck you.
But the same result, though.
Yes.
Still the same result. But counterpoint. It's still basically a Taste the Rainbow kind of like ending scenario.
Actually, funny thing that happened, Manvir Air, who's on Twitter, is the senior gameplay designer. He made a joke about, you know, that Skittles and beer kind of thing or something like that. He said he was about drinking. He said how he's puking different colors. And somebody actually got on Twitter, and he actually had the balls to retweet them, which was cool. Oh, kind of like the ending of a certain game I know. And I thought that was the best fan dig. But a counterpoint, Hex, you're a programmer.
Yes.
How easy would it actually be to make an organic, flowy, in today's medium, with today's size constrictions, engine constrictions, how actually, and it's the question, I'm not denying it.
No. It's a very valid question to create like an old school game, like
Chrono Trigger has to
do. Planescape Torment.
But that was.
No. That's old school. And Squaresoft has gone off on saying how impossible it would be just to replicate a game like Final Fantasy VII, which only had one ending.
Right.
The hard part isn't actually the program. The hard part is all of the graphics, all of the scoring, and all the production, basically. And so, say it takes to make 1 5-minute clip that takes a month's amount of work. So one ending, even if like the way they had it, it's basically 1 month of work, 2 weeks of changing the color scheme. So that's a month and a half for three different endings.
Sure.
Meanwhile, to have like 15 separate organic endings, not even the programming, just the production side, would take a whole year.
Right.
So, but the whole thing is, if you're going to, and I'm okay with them saying, there are only three endings. It's when you hype it, saying,
right.
This, so all of your decisions, even as far back as whether or not you let this punk ass die
right.
in Mass Effect 1.
Yeah. Well, that guy you knocked out.
Right.
The doctor who's like, I'm jonesing for my drugs. And they're like, screw you. And you punch him in the face.
Right. Like, as if that could have impacted
right.
the whole flow of everything more than just, oh, your war effort.
Right.
Because you let this person live. He has a few buds. And now you have 5 points added to your war effort.
Yeah, I think the war effort thing should have been advertised up front. I think they didn't because they knew how lame it was.
And so that's my whole thing of how it's overhyped.
I would have hyped that. I would have hyped like, oh, we have this scoring system, and now it's by attrition.
And it mysteriously works with multiplayer.
Yeah.
Mysteriously.
But I mean, I would have explained it.
When I first played the game, I went around. I was playing Paragon the whole time, so I got all the resources I could. And I went and I got all the artifacts and crap that I could. I didn't even know about multiplayer. I didn't know that multiplayer would impact the game because I'm like, oh, I'll play the game through and then I'll do multiplayer. Yeah. I didn't do a single second of multiplayer and I beat the game and I still got the quote unquote best ending.
I was pissed about the Tali thing, the Tali / Legion thing, only because it was so weighty for no
energy. Oh, I thought you were going to be bitching about her face.
That was bad enough, but I was willing to overlook that.
We could call Tali's face an overhyped project. To be completely fair,
yeah.
You know whose else face is an overhyped project? My mouth.
So my whole thing is Mass Effect.
So the game didn't fail you. Their promises failed you.
Yes,
the game didn't fail. The ending failed him.
Right,
which is the problem that everyone had in the first place.
Like I walked away from that game. When I first played through before the extended ending, going, that wasn't that bad.
I feel like my 60 bucks.
When it started festering was when I realized how much they had advertised.
Yeah, in film we're always talking about production value. And an overhype can set a bar for production value. Production value is, did you get that value for your ticket? Not, was it $1 billion?
Right.
Was it $1 billion and you felt like you got, you know, and you paid $25? Did you get $25 of entertainment? So how much you pay for Mass Effect 3? Like $60 or whatever, let's say.
Yeah, let's say that.
you know, the 16 minutes it took you to torrent it or whatever. Did you feel like you got that amount of money?
It's at this point for me, because of how valuable my time is, not to be the last.
No, say it though. Did you get the value or not? That's.
I don't feel that I did.
How about you, Tony?
Actually, no. I don't feel like I did either. Really?
Are you guys actually saying that you didn't enjoy that game?
No. That they didn't get their full production value. Like, if you had to put a dollar
second of that game until the ending.
Well, yeah, fucking loved that game until the ending, didn't you?
Oh my god, I was crying like a baby. My voice was crying.
A game reduced you to tears?
Morgan,
and you're questioning its value?
I think we should sue.
I think, for the purposes of time, we should tag.
Taxi.
Well, I'm going to pass it to Mr. John the Wild West, because I really like that nickname now.
John the Wild West. Christ.
Mr.
Well,
Wild West.
I would have done Mass Effect 3's ending, but, you know, hex. So instead I'm going to talk about a cool project, which is also possibly overhyped and kind of weird, because, you know, let's face it, if something doesn't deliver, that's where the hype is, right? And that's what overhyping is. So there's this project on Laval's favorite Kickstarter called Ubi for the ubiquitous computer. Now, what this project basically fucking claims is, like, computer, Earl Grey, hot. You know what I'm getting at here?
Yeah,
like, not necessarily
it's the a replicator
part of that, but the I can talk to my house and have it do things for me.
It's a food arachicycle.
Well, it'd be along the lines of I could just look at my computer and say, computer, play Proto Man. And it would start playing.
So you mean it's basically what we already have since 1998 when Dragon, naturally speaking, started taking commands.
So this thing, you plug it into the wall, and it's constantly listening for its name. They may or may not allow you to rename it, which would, you know, of course, be the huge, like, Trekkie value there, right? you know, or anyone for that matter. I mean, Eureka had the smart home called Sarah. You know, there's probably 18. Oh, well, of course, Hal, right?
Right.
So it's got this total fucking appeal, but ultimately it winds up being just like Android, you know, basic tiny, tiny amounts of sensors. And you just keep having to wonder, like, okay, well, so what's this actually doing for me? Why the hell do I care? And I think that a lot of gadgets wind up falling into that bracket of, this is the coolest thing ever, followed by, like, would I ever actually use this for 5 minutes? Like Siri itself for now, you know?
I never, ever use Siri, even though it's there, because in the time that somebody takes to actually ask Siri to do something and then correct it, I've already Googled it.
Well, right. And so, like, the only place where Siri winds up being particularly useful is for hands-free, essentially. Works relatively reliably with maps these days. Siri is overhyped because it's a niche situation, but Apple gives it to you as the Jesus technology. Like, this will frickin' solve everything.
Apple's the grand wizard of overhype.
True.
Siri knows Zoe Deschanel's phone number, and if you're nice to her, she might give it to you.
Well, hell, and I'm wondering, like, with this Ubi project, like, how long is it going to be before one of the big three, like Microsoft, Google, or Apple, move in and basically just decimate it and give you real reasons, basically removing the hype, like, you know, letting it collaborate with all these other devices, and then all of a sudden actually making, you know, this ad hoc smart home really possible.
I mean, that's what Xbox has wanted to do with the Kinect anyhow.
Well, yeah, and so that, but, you know, the Kinect, another overhyped project. We still aren't seeing the quantity of games, the quality of games. They're coming out with the Kinect 2, you know, which clearly says that the Kinect 1 probably came out too early. They probably wanted to kind of make a stamp on it so everyone understood, you know, advertising, right? This is a Microsoft project. Look at Microsoft. They have such fantastic R&D. Of course, they just, you know, like, what, leased the technology, right?
Yeah, it was taken from a company, in funny enough, in Natal. Which is in Italy, I believe.
Oh, hence Project Natal. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, actually, Microsoft always usually names projects after where it was developed.
You mean where it was stolen from?
Yeah, basically.
Purchased.
So the current one can detect your movement and listen to you. And ironically enough, like in Mass Effect 3, right? On the Xbox, what's the cool feature?
Being able to call out to my teammates.
Uh-huh. The speech recognition. Not even the fucking main point of it, which is looking at you, shaking your hands around like an idiot.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, the new one says that they'll be able to see fingers and read emotions or something ridiculous.
It's already doing
I'm going to have a mood connect.
They've leased it to some kind of medical technology company.
Yeah.
It's monitoring patients when they sleep so that they know if they're being restless or not and things like that.
Well, and so who the hell knows, right? Like, is this actually going to come around to being like a really, really good gaming peripheral? Is it going to be like most of the other peripherals that you use for 5 minutes and then you never use anymore?
I have one.
True.
that supersedes gaming.
Oh, here we go.
The biggest overhype project that I can think of.
I think you're already overhyping this. Already.
From 2000 to now, Star Wars.
Oh.
Star Wars Episode 1, Star Wars Episode 2, Star Wars Episode 3, pretty much any Star Wars game that has come out, including... No, it was 98, 2000-ish.
No, I think I'm pretty sure it was 97, 98.
Well, then I will say from 98 onward. Regardless. Star Wars Episode 1, filled with hype, huge letdown. And yet still the hype built back up for Episode 2, huge letdown. Episode 3, huge letdown. And it's happening again. Admittedly, 1313 looks like it's going to be an amazing game, but every Star Wars property that I have touched, played, or somehow sampled since I can remember really being into the franchise has let me down.
Republic Commando.
I have a counterpoint to every single thing that is Star Wars since Episode 1 coming up being a total letdown.
Yep.
Jenny Tartakovsky's Clone Wars.
The letdown was then that they decided that they disavowed it, and that then the Clone Wars series started up and had some really positive movement towards it. And as our Star Wars correspondent Matt Spill said recently, it has descended into madness.
So while yes, there have been success stories throughout the Star Wars franchise as a whole,
I will say that having been the only person in this room who actually saw Star Wars 1313, you have no clue what you're talking about.
I don't, and I am willing to be pleasantly surprised when I get to actually play it. But as a whole, as a franchise thus far, Star Wars has just built up its fan base and let it down to the point where they railed against George Lucas so hard that he listened and stepped back.
But truthfully, though, you don't... Yeah, for him to step back on something...
No. He stepped back on filmmaking, but he still is persistently grinding his heel into what people want in regards to Star Wars.
You know, there is a hole, as Cap and I know from 2010 at Star Wars Celebration 5, there's a whole host of people that are loving the direction of Star Wars. Like, when we went to the panel, why we love the prequels... That was a whole room of people.
Oh, God.
As has been evidenced by the majority of the topics brought up, this is my opinion, and Star Wars has let me down. My overhyped project end.
I think that's still, though, it can be overhyped and still be good. You know, I thought I enjoyed Dark Knight Rises, but I think it was way overhyped.
Like, the Avengers.
Avengers. Overhyped to the point where no project can live up to what they're calling it. You know, like Avengers. Oh, it's the greatest superhero that ever
moved. Right. If you didn't see it the opening night and got and, you know, felt that blast of power with everybody else, you may have been pretty disappointed once you finally got to the theater.
Snakes on a Plane. Cannot watch that movie now on DVD. I can't watch it at home.
See, I got to see that midnight showing in a college town. Right. Full of a bunch of people making fun of the movie with me.
Yeah, we were all drunk. And
that
it's loud
was the environment, the one environment that movie was supposed to be seen in.
Yeah.
Midnight screenings are actually pretty choice for finding the appropriate environment. So I guess that leaves us with you, Cap. What's your overhyped project?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of overhyped projects. One of the ones that's been, I'd say, most offensive recently to me has been DC's New 52.
Oh.
And I feel much like Mass Effect, it's something we could easily say, just go listen to our previous episodes and find out what we think about it, because we really have spent a lot of time talking about it. I just want to say that the more time I spend with it, the more I hear from creators who are working on it, the more this whole project is just a complete fucking disaster.
When like 8 out of 52 titles are good, and it's 52 titles.
That's a terrible ratio.
See, it's also difficult because my roommate is just now getting into comics.
Yeah.
And he's blasting through Green Lantern, Jeff Johns' run. And I'm like, okay, cool, this will go straight into the New 52. And at one point, he's in the Blackest Night tie-in, so he's like, so who are the Outsiders? And I'm about to go and give him an explanation, and I'm like, I don't even fucking know anymore. Like, how do you explain?
I don't know, I'm not sure they exist. Do they exist anymore? I don't know if they exist.
It's Red Hood and the Outsiders.
Oh, that thing, right. There you go.
There used to be Outsiders.
There's a book that I've put in a little black box.
The Outsiders is such a good
though,
book.
Though, isn't it Red Hood?
Eminem is my favorite character.
Hey.
Coney boy.
Stay golden.
Stay golden in your shower.
But yeah, so it's like the new 52 is totally like, I don't even know where to point people if they want to get
it. The new 52 is a lot of things, admittedly, and one of those things it is an overhyped project, and it's too bad.
I'm curious if new Marvel is just going to ruin that.
Oh no, I trust Marvel. They've earned my trust. Now they could
have that Disney money now.
Give me a smashing disappointment here, but you know what Marvel's doing differently is that Marvel is well aware of what's happening because the talent from DC that's suffering right now is coming over to Marvel or giving up on comic books altogether. Yeah, you're looking at me like, oh, that can't be true. It is.
It's up to Atomic Robo to bring them back.
It's a very bad situation where you let editors run some books and then the books that are good are the ones where the editors have the least control over what's actually happening. For DC, they have completely like lost control of the quality of their books. They were really building towards something when they did the whole Brightest Day arc and actually moving towards achieving a organic, you know, cleansing shuffle of all the continuities and everything, sorting things out, making it all feel really good and fresh and sharp and everything. And man, when you have so many throwaway books as they do right now, it's deplorable. The ones that are amazing are amazing. I mean, like, I love Animal Man and Swamp Thing. I love Wonder Woman. I love some of the Batman books.
Well, just Capullo, really. Capullo and Snyder.
So I think we've run a little bit long, but
it's a macro. So
there's six people on this cast. Well, I guess, you know, with the microsodes, we like to say if we do like it, we will inevitably talk past our 15-minute allotted time. So I guess we did that.
And
so
you owe us more money.
So good on you. No,
that means extra content for you, you whiny bitch.
Trent's probably all right on that front.
Trench. No, we're good.
Okay, never mind. Trench.
You're probably owe him a few.
That's right, Trench.
So
no Trench. No Trench.
All right, guys. Like I said before, if you want to hear us do microsode on any topic you're choosing, we'll talk about pretty much anything. Just go to our support page and find out what you can do to score yourself a microsode this month.
And taking us out, we have a combination of overplayed things. The track Niggas in Paris by Jay-Z and Kanye West and Harry Potter. Combine those together, you get Adam Morocks, Wizards in Paris.
Hyped, but never overhyped.
Oh, man.
So, bye, I'm Hex.
I'm hyped for this.
I'm Cap.
I'm Tony the Draw Friend.
I'm Luke.
I'm John.
And I'm the Lavelle.
Enjoy! Chris.
We ain't in Paris, my homie. Yo, we going straight to Middle Earth for this one. Haul on the way to Mordor. What you think I'm wearing this bling for? Nazgul going at the full Sauron, trying to stop my world tour. Y'all know you shall not pass. Chilling in the shower with the speed of my glass. Legolas with a bow in his hand. Gimli swinging around the dwarven ass. Sing all blue, orcs come through. Cave trolls, what a wizard gonna do? Rolling true with the ring of all rings. All I'm trying to stop what I got to do. Waiting for the return of the king. When I roll through town, all the elves gonna sing. From Bilbo Baggins to fighting off dragons. Asking me how to start this thing. Quest so hard, all the hobbits behind me. With camera tricks, Kiwi scenes on the trilogy trip, JRR boss so hard, killing these kids on a fantasy tip. And tell me who you check for wisdom, Gandalf Grey. 12 hours of the movies played, director's cut, waste your life away with swords and sorcery, fantasy, allegory, dope stories.
Told in Middle Earth, my homie.
What's Merry, my wizard? What's Pippin, my wizard? You know we get Slizzard on that pipe, we my wizard. You know Arwen's my sister, and this ring gives me blisters. So I'm dropping it like it's hot in that lava river, my wizard.
You shall not.
Quest so hard, all the hobbits behind me. With Gandalf Grey, Gandalf Grey, Gandalf Grey. Quest so hard, all the hobbits behind me. With Gandalf Grey, Gandalf Grey, yeah, Gandalf Grey.
Hey, I don't even really like Lord of the Rings that much. I always thought it was like a little slow, too long, you know. There's so many of these books anymore, right?
Dup, 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 dup. 1, 2, 3, go! Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, Dungeons and Doritos, comics, videos, and more, go to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Nerdy Show or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, give us your money by visiting the Nerdy Show store and picking up a t-shirt or donate directly to cool Nerdy perks.